This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here on 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3, 96.5 FM, WISS in Appleton and Oshkosh. Rob Momart's joining us right now. I like how they just look local artist. I like that. Just hello, Rob the artist.
And we love to support local things, local talent, anything that's going on here locally. And we have musicians on here quite often, but you know, writing is an art as well, as is dance and so many things. And you've been quite successful with your illustrating, and you gave us the book when you were here last time. And what I think is great is not only are you doing a good job with your book, but you're taking your process and you're going to share it with the community, because that's an unknown science on how to get something published.
Yeah, there's a lot of steps that I have to take during that process. And this presentation I'm doing on at the Wrightstown Library, it's not going to be about self-publishing, but more like working with a traditional publisher and all those little steps in between.
I know someone in the publishing business, and she thinks that self-publishing is extremely difficult. And whereas you use the traditional, whatever, Random House, whatever you do it, Grove Atlantic, whatever you went through. So yeah, tell us about that process, because that's a tough one.
Well, the last book series that I'm currently working on, the second book, it's basically finished, but it's in their hands right now. But that's through HarperCollins,
right?
But
that's big time.
Yeah, it's exciting, but that's the thing. It's you basically. They have to come to you and offer you that. But if you're self-publishing, you can basically do whatever you want. For the most part, you don't really have a gatekeeper. But it's interesting how I never quite know how they found my work. It's interesting to go back and see how.
Okay, so I got a Kindle. Okay, got it for Christmas. Okay. Going through the list of fun, this one on Joe Montana, which I read, another one on John Grisham, and there was my book, 50 Strong.
Oh, cool.
And it's like,
that's cool.
How do they do it? That's cool.
Well, that's what he's saying. Like, how do
you know
they
what I mean?
That?
So you just never know. It's like, there it is amongst John Grisham and so-and-so and Joe. It's like, I almost want to take a picture of that.
That's thrilling to see that.
That's cool. I mean, I have small little achievements for that. You know what I mean? But it's like, that was cool to see that.
Yeah. It's cool to be like in a different city and see, go into a bookstore and see your book there. And
yeah, I'll bet.
It's very thrilling.
Yeah.
So, okay, are you working with again?
HarperCollins.
HarperCollins. Okay, that's a good one. They'd kind of discovered
you. Is your daughter
you.
With Penguin?
No, she's with Grove Atlantic. Okay. But you were kind of discovered, right? They reached out to you. That doesn't happen very often.
Well, I had previously done a book series with Penguin. It was a 6-book series called Claude, Evil Alien Warlord Cat, and 6 books. But it was
the name. You stole that name. That was going to be Jim's autobiography. Just throwing that out there.
Go ahead. Continue, please. But yeah, stay focused.
And I'm not sure if they. I know. For that book, I believe the art director had found my work on Instagram. Wow. And in this case, I think for this latest series, I believe the author found my work and then showed them the publisher.
That is awesome. I mean, from a guy that has slogged through local books or whatever like that, for somebody to spot your work who doesn't know you, it wasn't like a friend, hey, this is a friend of mine. For that,
can you
that
do me
is
a, favor?
A huge achievement.
Yeah. And you're going to share this
because they have so many in front of them.
Yeah.
Oh my
your
God.
Daughter, I
you
mean,
you wouldn't believe the number of And I said to Laura, I'm like, look, you realize the hearts you're breaking because you got to say no. But they've kind of have a little bit more of a filter in that they really don't new stuff. They don't look, and they're so busy with people writing their second or third novel or fiction, whatever they write. Which you're into that right now, and I think that helps a lot.
Yeah, it was nice to get my foot in the door, but you know, I don't know what the future holds as far as I'd like to do more of these middle grade books. But we'll see what happens.
So what are you going to tell people at this thing? At Wrightstown Library, which is, of course, part of the Brown County Library System. You should go to all the libraries.
I would love to live in Wrightstown. I think that's one of the coolest little towns. Yeah. I think that's one of the most picturesque, unappreciated. Great. I shouldn't say unappreciated, but almost like a cool little thing this close to Green Bay, which I think is just awesome. I love Wrightstown.
Until next time, but take the boat up through the locks and end up at Wrightstown. That's pretty happening.
Is there a brewery right there on the water? Yeah.
Winery. Which one is that?
I don't know. It's
Nikki. We don't. Nikki! What brewery is that right in the water in Wrightstown?
Dock your boat.
Where you can dock your boat and go. What is it?
It's called It's a restaurant. Come on here. It's a restaurant called Lost Key Tavern and Tap.
That's right.
That's it. Lost Thank Key. You, Nikki.
That makes sense. Okay. So
it's great having Nikki here. It's like you know, just Google. It's like a human Google.
Right. All right. So what are you going to tell people? I mean, who do you want to come to this first of all? Are these people who are thinking of getting published or these people who just do? Who's going to be there?
Just anyone that's interested in that. It's open to adults, tweens, teenagers, anyone that's interested in art and writing. I'm not much of a writer myself, but...
Is the process the same whether you're a writer or illustrator?
I imagine. I mean...
You're starting an illustrator.
I'm more of an illustrator, but... I'm just going to basically be showing them like my role as far as like, you know, they approach me for the job and then, they present me or in some cases they'll just tell me about who the main characters are and I'll start out with the design of those main characters.
But that's in your mind versus what's in their mind.
In the style of the book and I think they know what my art style is ahead of time, so they kind of know what to expect.
Because, I mean, it's not like, like Charles Schulz, God bless him, but every day he wrote the same Snoopy, wrote the same, you know what I mean? So it's the same thing over and over. You're creating something out of your mind that somehow has to jibe with what's in that author's mind, correct?
Yes.
That sounds hard.
Because me and Steve is the author of the Mummy Man books that I'm currently working on, and him and I have become pretty good friends over the past year or so, and we talk on the phone, and we have a lot in common, so that's... that helps.
Breaks down the barriers.
Yeah, we have a lot.
Let me ask you, there's so many young kids that just love art, and we try to push it as much as humanly possible to give some of these kids, you know, a forum, a way to get their work out there. The Art Garage here is great, and some of the great things they do at the museum here in town and everything like that. But I think you could be a real inspiration for some of these kids where it's like, well, I'm a good drawer and I love art, but how can you... You know, do that for a living or even get noticed at all. I think what you're doing with those kids or the people at Wrightstown, I think that's huge. I really and truly do.
Thank you. Yeah. I hopefully I can inspire somebody else. I mean, I know one time I did an event at the Boys and Girls Club up in Sturgeon Bay, and these kids after the event showed me this comic book. There's these three boys, and it was so thrilling to see that they all, the three of them got together and designed this whole comic book, and they look so excited. And
that's
so you
awesome.
Feel that enthusiasm.
And for you to encourage them and kind of help them along, I think that's fantastic what you're doing. Because it's a very under, I mean, you know, a lot of people like to write. I mean, I love to write, you love to write, your daughters like to write, everybody likes to write. But that other aspect, just because you can write doesn't mean you can illustrate. And to you, for you to open that venue to others, I I'm not trying to overstate this, but being a guy that's grinded for 25 years in writing books and things like that, I have all the admiration that you're helping another generation try to achieve what you've achieved.
Thank you.
And you have a style of illustration, right?
Yes, pretty much.
I mean, and I think people who know you know your style, which is, can you put that into a category for me?
I'm more of a traditional cartoonist for the most part. I can work in several different styles, but I guess the one that I enjoy the most is the traditional pen and ink cartooning, basically. And like all of my colors are done digitally, but they're done sort of flat, pretty flat, straightforward colors just for speed's sake.
So I know your style. I'm a writer. It's like those characters would be great to have in my story. And then you hook up. Is that the way this works? Like, how do they reach? Why would they reach out? I want to try and help people who are good illustrators, maybe not great writers, and great writers who need a great illustrator. How's that marriage made?
Well, I think there's several different ways of going about it, but in my case, as far as with these books, I mean, it was just a matter of them finding my work online for the most part. And I do have an agent now, so she has been contacting different potential publishers, and I have a portfolio online, and I know she's just sent my work to them just to remind them that I'm out there. I'm one of the several thousand illustrators that are out there.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what? You know it's like. I mean, I used to love Joe Heller. He used to write great political cartoons, and one of my all-time favorite authors slash illustrator is Bill Maudlin. He was a cartoonist during World War II who was actually in the Army, in the infantry, and he was doing some stuff, and his stuff was so spot on that George Patton tried to get him banned to not write any more type things.
Wow.
Yeah, he's phenomenal, and he captures, there was so much, and I don't know if it was Joseph or whoever it was, and I want to say it was after 9/11, and the only illustration, I don't think there's any words, it was the Lincoln Memorial with the big thing of Lincoln sitting with his head down in his hands.
Oh, yeah. Like,
was, I don't know if it was Joe's or
9/11, he did that.
Was that Joe's?
Yeah.
But I mean, those, I mean.
I bought that.
The image can say, just by looking at that image, is better than 10,000 words.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Joe's a master of
just
capturing so much in such a simple illustration, as far as just emotion. And yeah, I remember the I think he did one with the Statue of Liberty too.
Back or maybe that it was the Statue of Liberty. Like
it was
Statue
of Liberty. I bought that. He sold that. Yeah. Okay. And I don't. I think the money went to the 9/11. It was the Statue of Liberty. With
you know what, the Kennedy
what the
one,
happened.
Or I mean the Lincoln one, might have been national when Kennedy was assassinated.
Yep, could have been. Yeah, I don't
think that's
that.
What it might be.
Okay,
but you remember the? I don't remember the words. But I remember the picture.
Yeah. That was very heartfelt. Yeah, that was great. He does so many good things. He's still doing it, too. He
just did
phenomenal.
Yeah.
But that guy who Patton criticized, that might be a way to pull all your work, too.
Oh, it did. Oh, it did.
I'd like to research him more.
I've got his book. I've got his book right upstairs here. I'll drop it off here. Nikki will get it to you or whatever.
You think of back in the Civil War when there were artists out on the field that would draw
the
what
battles.
They saw. And
yeah.
That's crazy.
Isn't that incredible? Well, yeah.
No, that's great stuff. But
I know I've asked you this. Well, okay, we're going to kick you around for a couple more minutes, okay? We're going to set a quick break. Want to ask more. Rob Momar, it's an amazing artist. We just want to talk more about how somebody could pursue this, what you're doing.
Right.
Okay.
Okay? And I know, Chancellor, you got to have a job on the side. But still, this is your passion. Follow it for some of these young people. And don't even have to be young. Give us the playbook, okay?
Okay.
Rob Momar, it's local artist. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Share with the class.
Well, I just a couple of things. First of all, Nikki just brought in this Christmas card. Oh, that's
that he illustrated. He did this whole card.
It's amazing.
And then he said, just for HR someday, he said, "Didn't you guys get my cards?" And we're like, "No," because John doesn't get any cards. I get some, but I would have remembered this. And he said he sent them to the station.
This is awesome. So, will you do mine next year?
Sure.
Excellent. Start working it now. Here's what I got a concept.
Give me a heads up, though.
This is
amazing.
Great.
That's awesome.
That's a great card. Anyway, you are an illustrator that from Green Bay. I'm not saying you struck it lucky, but somebody noticed your work and a major publisher picked you up. And I think that's
I still go back to like 1,000 years ago. the harder you work, the luckier you get.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just in this case, is you just have to be persistent. And I haven't really been super aggressive in finding work because I'm always a lot of self-doubt, I guess. But I think it's just, if you're just, this is the one, I'm not always a huge fan of social media, but I think if you're persistent and you keep drawing every day and creating your own materials and sharing them with others, it was a real game changer for me years ago when I went on DeviantArt, which is still around, but it's not as popular anymore. It's like a social media art app. But then Instagram and all those things kind of took over. But that's been a really invaluable tool for me as far as spreading my work out in the wild.
You do come across a little reserved, but that agent's going to step in and do that for you.
Well, okay, but I just said, that's true. But one other thing. If I drew something like this,
it would be
I would have
billboard.
Zero self-doubt. And the thing that, right. that Nikki showed us or you showed us about Martin Luther King Jr., yeah. it's like, if I could draw like that, would I not have self-doubt? I would be like, you guys got to see this. Yeah. I'd have my entire car painted with the things I did. It would be unbelievable.
Church parking lot, windshields.
I'd have a tattoo on my neck and people were like, who did? I said, I did it myself. In the mirror. I did that myself.
The van with the big mural on the side of it.
Absolutely. Have the Easy Rider guy going through the desert or the big chopper. Yeah.
The plane flying around Lambo. What is that behind there?
Yeah.
I think that's great that you have someone who's going to help you do this because you're obviously extremely talented.
Why would you have self-doubt?
Well, it's just your fear of rejection, I guess. Because there is a lot of talent out there. It's crazy.
I mean, but I was in sales. We thrive on rejection. You know, I mean, that kind of hurts. Like, I feel empathetic for you because I've talked to people like you that are unbelievably talented they have this self-doubt. And I'm like, what happened?
Let me tell you something, my friend. Okay. You be me at 19 and you walk into a sorority party, a pool party at Arizona State University. You want to talk rejection, my friend? You want to talk rejection? Wow. Wow.
I think anybody who has talent, right? There is that fear of rejection.
You know what a girl asked me? You know what a girl asked me?
Oh, God.
Are you the guy who changes the kegs? Honest to God.
And she was the only girl that talked to
you. And you know what I said?
That's
yes,
funny.
I am.
But I think people who are talented always have that fear of rejection because you put so much of your actual self into it. You're not selling a product. Yes. You are selling yourself.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I have some creator-owned projects that I would like to launch at some point, but I have that fear of, like, what if someone says this is stupid and that's just going to be crushing to me.
If it's something can you say one thing? Stay out of talk radio.
Stay out of okay. And my advice is stay out of politics.
Yes, yes. Get a thick skin.
Absolutely.
With that said, and I don't want to psychoanalyze you right now, but there's when somebody reaches out to you for your talent, that's a pretty good sign that you're onto something. And I think your agent, if she or he is really good, is going to fill that void for you. You just keep doing what you're doing. You know?
Yeah.
So when we come to the library on the 27th in Wrightstown, you're going to share with us the initial process and would you have done anything different? I mean, you're pretty successful right now.
I try to take, recently I've been trying to take as many notes as possible on the whole process. And I have like a document that I have set up where if something goes wrong or if something took me too long, I try to remind myself going back into it that the second time around to try to avoid those things. Picking a certain way of like there's certain characters in this last book that I worked on that had a lot of different color variations and little details in them. And when I had to draw that in every single frame, I got to be like, oh man.
Work, huh?
Tedious. Like I thought there's other more simplistic ways of drawing this character that would save me so much time. And I'm trying to remind myself of that. Hopefully next book project, if I get one, we'll see what happens.
Okay, I can ask you a question. I watched that movie with Tom Hanks about Walt Disney. Okay. So those cartoonists, like Mighty Mouse or somebody, would they legitimately like draw this one and then the next one a fraction of an inch different? And Did they really do that?
Yeah,
they did.
There's a story of...
That's unbelievable.
How many frames they have to draw to get, I don't know, what the 10
well,
seconds
movement? Well, is that 64
movement?
Frames in a second or something like that?
I don't know how true this is, but he's passed away, but he was a famous children's illustrator, Bill Peet. He did a lot of, I can't think of the titles of his books, but he did several books. But he worked for Disney for 30 years. And there was a point at one time where he was working on a Donald Duck cartoon, and he went crazy.
I believe it.
He had like a meltdown.
Right.
Because he had to draw that same face, just slightly different.
Just a hundredth of a thing different.
The beak opening. Yeah, yeah. I
don't think I could do that.
And it had to be exactly the same amount each time, or it was like static, stuttery?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Very repetitive. I mean, it takes a certain amount of... attention. I have a short attention span and I get bored quickly. So,
what do you think about that? Watching a cartoon back in your day, like, remember at the movie? Are you old enough to be at the movies so we had cartoons beforehand? Yeah. And you kind of laugh or blow them off, but the work that went into that.
Yeah, I forgot what it takes. Like, how much work it takes to do like 5 seconds.
Right,
of,
that's what I was saying.
Like a month or something.
Oh my God!
I could be wrong. But yeah. It's crazy.
Thank God that's progressed significantly.
But yeah. I mean, I could see that literally driving somebody a little. Wacky.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I think this is great that you're sharing your talent.
I agree.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't want to psychoanalyze, but I think you're on your way to some really big things.
Thank you.
Like you.
I think you should psychoanalyze me.
I tried that and you stormed off the set. So,
all right.
Rob, all right. This is going to be at the January 27th at the Brown County Library in Wrightstown from 6 to 7.
Yes.
Outstanding.
We will see you there.
Young artists, go out and listen to this guy.
Young old.
All right. Thanks so much, Rob Momartz. Terry Barr, Slice of Wisconsin, back after this. Who salutes, but no one ever does. I'm
not sick, but I'm not well. You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. heroicdeed.com.
Miss part of the show or want to share it with a friend? Check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. Special thanks, Rob Momartz. Coming in, an illustrator who's extraordinary. We're going to be talking with Terry Barr in a little bit. We got Terry? Oh, I just didn't see Terry. Hi, Terry.
Hello. How are you?
Outstanding. How are you?
I am great as well. So happy to be back with you this morning.
It's good to hear your voice. Got a lot of stuff going on. Terry, not to talk about a down thing at first, though, but you and I worked in TV business together and been together in different aspects of the media for numerous years and decades. But weird thing going on with all these things happening with local stations these days. Just saw the big thing last night about many meteorologists around the country are losing their jobs. And it's kind of sad, isn't it? Because when you work at a TV station or a radio station, you know, whether you like somebody personally or not, you're all in it together and you really become compadre type things. And you just hate to see that happen, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. At the local level, especially, I feel really bad where these folks are losing their jobs. That just means these particular areas, and in Wisconsin, we're talking about Madison, La Crosse, Eau Claire, Wausau, they are going to be losing their local weather people. So how do you get a forecast?
I know, and that's such a face of a station at times, that weather person.
Absolutely. You know, I was even looking out the window this morning, and we have snow in the Madison area. Now, I don't know about Green Bay, but how would you get that? You know, if somebody told you last night on the national level, no snow, don't worry about it. And then you look out the window and you go, well, wait a minute.
Yeah, well, I agree.
They don't even, so much of the weather now in that nationals, like they don't really give you like Madison versus Green Bay or Chicago.
No.
It's like
big regions, big swath.
A swath of people. 100 million people are going to be affected by the storm. I don't care about anybody but me. Like, what? Where is the storm coming? You know, and now what they do is, you know, that like even on if you watch, like I watched, you know, I watched the news at 2:30, but and then when they go to the weather, the national goes to the weather, it's and then they just have they have the
their local forecast,
right? And it's just but all it is a picture. No, it's just a picture of like a sun and then a cloud and then a temperature.
Yes.
But I want someone like Tom Mahoney telling me and John Chandick, well, a little bit of this, get the shovel ready, you know, that kind of stuff.
Totally.
And those days are
And you feel like you know these people because you see them.
Right.
You might see them out in the community. They're doing things locally. And they care because they live there too.
And really, and everybody, even though those guys are, you know, half glass full, right or wrong, half the time, people love the weather person. What?
I would say about 90% of the time they're correct. I am. What do you say, Terry?
Well, and we always said in television, win with weather. That's why you had strong personalities locally. You know, weather now usually happens within the first couple of minutes of a television news broadcast because that's what everybody needs to know.
It used to be news, sports, and weather, and that has changed. It's almost like weather at the top, weather in the middle, weather before, and sports is the very end.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. So I just hope that doesn't. I mean, there's a pretty good meteorologist school in Wisconsin, right? Like outside of Wausau, isn't there something up there where people study that?
No idea.
I don't know that.
I would say at UW-Madison,
Madison?
Also Northern Illinois has a great meteorology program.
Yeah, I think that's where Brittany went.
You know what? I take that back. My nephew from Wausau.
Oh, okay.
That was a while ago. Went to a school to study meteorology.
We're going to play Connect the Dots. The mayor's
there
mind.
Are many schools that have
that was totally my
that's
bad.
The thing.
Yeah. That was I was just I was thinking as you were talking. Okay, no,
it was a trick question.
No, I wasn't thinking. I was thinking he's from Wausau, Schofield. Anyway.
Okay.
But I wonder if that's going to hurt that industry now that there's less opportunities.
It certainly isn't going to help. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what else going on, Terry? We've got Nikki standing by. I have to run to the dentist. Nikki was with me yesterday. And I said, hey, could I come there at 9:15? They said, no, you'd have to reschedule like 2 months down the road.
All you were asking was an extra 15 minutes.
15 minutes? Nope. So,
Well, I thought, Terry, do you know the best time to go to the dentist?
I have no idea.
Well, let me tell you, please, dear. It is at 2:30.
That's
why?
Why?
Okay, let her say it again.
It's at 2:30.
It was a mom joke.
Yeah,
it's a total mom joke.
It's a total still got I don't. I
give me that.
Still
give me that dab. Give me that dab microphone. Yes, give me that.
I agree with the buzzer.
Give me that.
Yeah. No way, Jose.
I didn't invite her in.
It's my favorite joke of all time.
It's really bad.
Hi, Terry.
Tell us about old bowling in Wisconsin.
I know.
Oh, let's do this. Okay, so this slice of Wisconsin, brand new, hot off the, press. I can't even say that anymore.
Yeah, no.
hot off the audio machine here. It's going to be on the network, the Civic Media Radio Network, starting tomorrow. So you get to listen to it first today. Todd, take it away. Let's play it.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich. Just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media. Media Radio Network.
Nice. I like that.
So they still set the, they set the pins by hand.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
They do. And often they are hired kids from the neighborhood, and you have to tip them. And get this, a lot of times they get $20 an hour for setting the pins from their tips.
Oh, my God. No.
Yeah, somebody's doing something right there.
Now they don't have to pay taxes on them.
You know, I'm going to go back lots and lots of years. My dad, when he was a kid, was a pin setter. And
what?
Yeah, he was.
That's awesome.
He was a pin setter. And he got hurt a lot, though, because those things would just go flying. And you basically, you set the pins, and you basically went flat against the wall. And a lot of those things would fly, and he's got off his knees, his shins, his...
Wow.
It was dangerous
bowling,
sport.
I have a little connection to bowling. My father-in-law worked his whole life, from Anago, at Vulcan. They made bowling pins?
Okay.
That was the... Okay, Vulcan, and I've been through that plant a million times.
They got their big insignia on every pin.
But it's people on the lathe. I mean, it wasn't as automated as you would think.
Oh, really?
And they take that maple and glue it and weigh it. And it was great because if there was just... The Vulcan, per capita, had more 300 games than any other bowling manufacturer. He actually opened up... I'm not kidding you. Opened up a bowling in Japan.
You really?
Went over there. Donna's dad.
Oh, your
father-in-law.
Wow.
Yeah, my father-in-law.
That's incredible.
I'll tell you what I liked about it. I'm not a bowler.
I've seen you bowl, so I would agree with that.
I have my own ball.
Right.
I still want to bowl in Oshkosh one of those days at that place.
That's the Howard?
It's from the 1940s. Yeah. That is so awesome.
All but right. You know how every business has a little, you know, sidebar, little freebies to it? It was bowling pins before they got the plastic. No, before they got plastic.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And you would just take them and you throw them on the fire.
Oh, so but the whole burn phenomenal.
Awesome. So just,
oh my God.
You say your dad said throw another log on the fire, throw another pin on the fire.
Wow.
And that maple burned really, really well. So that's what we had for years when he died. They got purchased by Brunswick.
What was your dad's first name?
No, Don.
Or
David Hart.
Throw a wad of cash on the fire.
He wasn't like
just
that at all.
Just fine.
He was not like that at all.
Got this one. My grandpa set pins back in the day at three alleys we used to have in Kewaunee. He was paid 10 to 15 cents a line.
Wow.
So probably the exact same era that my dad did that. But it was, Tori, did you ever say it was dangerous with the way those pins would fly?
Well, I would bet.
Yeah. Well, they're heavy, too, when they were really made out of wood. I have one that I use to pop open the door if I need the door to stay open.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a doorstop from a bowling alley in Shawano that isn't there anymore.
That's
now,
cool.
I wouldn't be able to make it in that original bowling club.
Why?
They said no cussing.
Oh, yeah, you would not be good.
No.
Lordy, lordy, lordy.
But they do still have the bras hanging from various areas.
Yeah, and you have to autograph your bra and leave it, and then they hang it from the ceiling.
Who needs a mom bra hanging from the rafters?
Yeah.
Come on. No way.
Really? What's the one we got hanging in the back room here from that day we brought in the six-pack? Remember that?
I wasn't
Come
here.
Come on, when Brian from Heights brought in that six-pack and Dennis.
Ironically,
and
I was.
And all of a sudden, let's.
That was the day I was gone. I was
Remember
gone.
That day?
Ding dong.
Yeah. I gotta run to get some dental work done, Terry. These guys will take over.
All right.
Okay, good luck.
Thanks, Terry.
Hey, this Holler House, you said that they haven't automated that? It's still from 1908, they still have pin setters?
This is so great. So it's the fifth and sixth generation of this family. Still running the exact same place, the exact same business. There's a bar on the main floor. Then you go into the basement. That's where the two bowling alleys are. And then the people, whoever are running it, typically lives in the little apartment upstairs. And it's just such a part of this community, south side of Milwaukee.
I can smell that atmosphere, right? Like, you know that the carpet's worn down. There's the scent of old cigarettes and beer and... Just the oil for the lanes.
We just got that. Tori just texted in again. He said that his grandfather had to pay attention with the pins flying back and jack wagons throwing balls at your feet.
Jack wagons. See, now that is Lane-approved language.
Yes, that's not quite.
And how Waller House says, now, if you want to visit, no problem. But if you want to bowl, you often need to call ahead to make sure the kids in the neighborhood are there to do the pins.
Oh, my gosh. That so, is so
it's
charming.
It's such a tradition. Isn't it wonderful? Yep.
You know how Milwaukee has, of course, Milwaukee's been around, but you know, if you go to certain restaurants there, they have pictures of the famous people who've dined there, right?
Yes, yes.
So, oh, absolutely.
And this Holler House, I got to be honest with you, I never heard of it, but I love Milwaukee. But they have those photos. Who are the famous bowlers? Didn't you say that in the beginning?
Well, do you remember the pro bowler, Earl Anthony?
Yes.
Does that name ring a bell at all?
Absolutely.
He's bowled there. And, of course, he brought a huge crew with him to watch him bowl. Joe Walsh has bowled there. But the story that I think is really kind of fun is Jack White from the White Stripes, and now he just plays under his own name, Jack White. He opened it just for himself and his crew traveling with him.
I love
for
that.
For a concert. Yeah. They opened it for him, and they were kind of like, okay, we'll see what happens. Turns out he is an avid bowler.
Really?
Terrific. Yeah. And they said he brought in quite the crew that was a lot of fun to have there. Isn't that fun? I mean, just
that's awesome.
A place like
you know,
that.
I would have loved to be a fly on the wall for that.
Yeah.
Oh, crew. Yes.
That bowling is just something for, you know, the professional bowlers. But for those of us who, let's just go bowling.
It's a lifetime sport.
It is. And even the Northland Hotel here in Green Bay, you know, they redid that. I mean, it's a huge renovation. Down in their lower level where they have billiards, they put it in two bowling alleys. And Two lanes. And they're kind of, I don't know, what is that called? Certified by whatever your association is.
Yeah.
But I think that was cool. Out of all the stuff they could have put into that hotel, you know, the $36 million renovation, to get people, they put that, and I think that's like really cool because I think it's not that it's a lost art, but it's just something that, I don't know, it's just a great recreation. And you don't
Absolutely.
Have to be super, super talented to do it. You know, I mean,
very social for people. Now, if you are curious about this, at one time in the 1960s, Green Bay had the greatest number of bowling alley lanes per capita of any U.S. city.
Todd, give us the bell for that,
I
please.
Believe that.
Thank
you. Know
you.
What? I believe that. I don't, it's, wow.
The Kegglers Club? Yeah. It used to be called Keggling, right? Has anybody, know?
A long, long time ago, I do believe I've heard that and read that somewhere.
Wow.
You are always a wealth of knowledge. I love your stories.
How can we catch this again? So this is Slice of Wisconsin. This is going to be on tomorrow, you said?
It is going to be on across the network starting tomorrow.
All right.
There's also a big, long web story that I wrote, so you can find that on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, Terry
Barr. Thank you, Terry.
Thanks for the Slice of Wisconsin.
We'll
be right back.
Talk to you again soon.
All right, we'll do.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Find a bowling shirt and put it on. Doesn't matter if it fits, it can't go wrong. We don't care if it's old or new. We'll all be dressed just like you. Grab your balls, we're going bowling. Grab your balls and have some fun. Grab your balls, we're going bowling.
There you go. So Tori from Kiwani said you got to play that song.
All right,
so
there you go. That's
thanks,
fantastic.
Tori.
Okay.
Risky.
No, but that kind of personifies bowling a little bit. I mean, bowling it just isn't seen as a the most sophisticated, like, not that golf is, but the thing that, and the other thing this I like about bowling, or why their industry I think is kind of not laughed at, but it's like, oh, that's kind of a joke, let's go bowling, is you cannot bowl and you can get a strike.
Oh yeah.
It's not like you can go, it's not like you can get on the basketball court and shoot a 3-pointer, or you can't get on the golf and, you know, do 300-yard drive. But bowling, you can roll up and you get a strike. It's like, okay,
everybody can,
you know what I mean? That's kind of good and bad.
From 1 to 92.
It's good for people to go, so you can bring the kids, you can do whatever you want, your parents, and go bowling.
Have you ever been in a bowling league?
Even if I was, I don't know if I would admit. No, I'm just kidding. We had bowling when we were in grade school. We were in a bowling league. Yes, we were.
I think some people take it in college for college credit.
Oh,
Come on. Yeah. That's not a college.
I bet it.
Although I think I took skiing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But bowling, and there's people that
have their own shame in this.
They have their own bowling ball.
Raise your hand.
And shoes, right?
And shoes.
And here's the thing, and she was right in her story. Like,
I'm not getting any love for this.
She was right in her story, or you said it, I think. You walk into those places, and there's that smell, right? Because a lot of them you used to be able to smoke at, right?
Yep.
You could smell the beer spilling all over that shag carpeting and stuff like that, right?
You know, Terry
just oil. Hits you.
Terry said per capita we have the most bowling lanes. We have a lot of bowling lanes here still. I don't know if we're per capita, but I mean, they built that place out in Howard. Oh, we host some great tournaments. I mean, the bowling tournament, and I spoke at the women's bowling tournament, and that's serious, and the scores are all, you know, in the high 200s, and it's great. And I want to say, with all due respect, anyone can bowl.
Yes.
Sounds like a challenge.
They can.
I mean,
sounds like maybe at 10 after 9 on Friday, we're going to move on over to one of the bowling alleys.
Although I went bowling.
Hey, you just said anybody can bowl.
Kids Day, I would
bowl. You don't even have to have skill, and you could bowl a strike.
I bowled one time. I'm not kidding you. And I'll have to find the documentation. Like, I got a lot of strikes. I don't know what it was.
When we bowled last year, you did relatively well.
Yeah.
And I did okay too. And the thing is, you can have a really, really decent game and then have one that's just pathetic.
But Todd, even worse than that, I can bowl a gutter ball and the next one's a strike and then the next one's a gutter ball. It's like, come on.
There's nothing wrong with that though.
But yeah. Anyway, I think the sport is great. I don't think it's changed. I mean, Terry is talking about, you know, of course, this company that kicked it off in 1908, but it hasn't. The changes in bowling, and the game is still the game, right? I mean, it's not like
there's no rules that have changed.
Right. Like the basketball has gone from 2-point to 3-point.
Sure.
And God knows how many changes there have been in football, you know, and kickoffs to this and that. But bowling, but I will say this that I like about bowling is the technology has improved. From pin setters to automatic pin setting, and the fact that they do the scores now.
Yes.
That was hard math, I thought.
Bowling alley in Appleton.
When you get the spare, the strike, and then you get a 9, it's like, okay, wait a minute, how many points did I get?
And the score is different based on
your
previous frame.
Right.
Yeah, bowling math, I don't enjoy.
No, but that's all done for you now.
Likes to tell a famous bowling story that when I was on staff, we did a Christmas party. We bowled for a Christmas party. Friendly wager, whoever has the high score gets a free day of vacation. I bowled the game of my life.
You got a free day off?
Won that day off, yep.
Well, that's kind of a cool thing.
And I joined a league and didn't have that kind of skill.
Right. So you were not the best bowler.
Ever.
And yet you won the contest.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying about bowling. Now, this guy just texted a lady. I don't think guy, but that has their own bowling ball and shoes. Seven balls. It's weird to see that people don't own
their own balls and shoes.
Yeah, because the rental on that, I don't know how much it is.
It's very affordable. $2 for shoes. You don't pay for the ball.
So we would bowl in Elkhart Lake. There's a bowling alley there. We would go there, and it was like, I don't know, it was like $10 for... like the family. It's just like, it's unbelievably cheap. And just, it was a fun night out. And again, I want to go back to bowling. I think that's cool that Terry did this story, is that everyone can do it and really probably should do it.
Look at the texts that are coming in, though.
I know.
We've got another one. I've worked for a company out of DePere, Mac Lane Services. Yes, hello, Gary and friends at Mac Lane Services. Building and updating AMF centers around the U.S. from wood lanes to synthetic lanes. So hello to all of our friends over at Mac Lanes in DePere. Another one says, Hanks in Luxembourg, you still have to score by hand.
Yeah.
No automatic scores there.
Got to bring somebody to do it.
You definitely do bowling math in pencil.
Yeah.
Because
and you double check.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But the other thing that we have, Todd and I talked about when we went bowling, but those are great fundraising events because it's not real stressful.
No.
And you can visit with people.
Social.
You go lane to lane, and usually
there's beer and there's bar food.
And there's bar food.
I mean, I'm going to get myself. Yep. Exactly.
Right? I mean, that's just a fun thing to do. So, yeah, we do a huge thing over at the shelter.
How'd the pool do?
Oh, it's not being up.
Well, that's the latest.
Yeah, and I got a text from somebody that just said, yeah, I would definitely do that.
Okay. So today's question was if you would buy a full-blown plane ticket
for your dog.
To ticket your
dog. If you could take your dog with you.
Then as your companion. 75% of people 70% no, 30% yes. Yep. I am definitely in the 30% category.
Well, then it would be 35%.
There you go. There we go.
Because
so we're getting there. And Donna, I tell you, my wife would be 100%.
And I've only got a 13-pound dog. Well, Milton,
you could take that. You could get that.
I'm not putting her under the seat.
You can carry on like a cat thing. No, I'm gonna work on this. I will update our listening audience when I hear back from the airlines.
Write a blog, would you?
All right, I can do that. I'm sure that's just the top interest. All right. Well, thanks for listening. This has been Mino the Mayor. Mickey is our Nikki. I mean, we play the song Mickey, but your name is Nikki, and thank you for sitting in. We will all be back here tomorrow. We have an awesome lineup coming in tomorrow, and we will see you then.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.